Okay, good morning, and welcome to the second of two on Mekach Taos. So, what I wanted to do, as I put in the email, what I wanted to do is, well, first of all, there are two very brief notes, just adding to points that we raised last time. And then I wanted to figure out the question of the Mumin in our Mishnah, and which ones are the visible ones, which one are the invisible ones, and resolve that debate among the Rishonim, which will give us a little bit of a new take on the view of the Rambam. And then, because we're talking about this issue of Mekach Taos, in which you buy something and didn't know about a defect, and you're considered to have been cheated, and therefore you can back out of the deal, we established last week that the reason why you're able to back out of the deal is not the seller's a bad guy, he defrauded you, but rather, you didn't know what you were buying. You weren't aware of what you were buying, and even if we say you were mochel, you forgave, because he told you it has all of these defects, and you said, I'm buying it anyway, nonetheless, it's an erroneous forgiveness, it's mechila betaos, and therefore it's not valid as mechila. So what I wanted to talk about is more about mechila betaos, this idea of forgiving something in ignorance, and when it's valid, when it's not valid, how it can be made valid, how can you create a waiver in which you say, yeah, I don't really know what might be wrong with this, nonetheless, I'm going to forgive whatever is wrong. Could that actually work? Those are the topics that I want to visit. And I realized I took last week's discussion so much for granted that I didn't even re-present the Gemara on the source sheets. That's why I have my Gemara here. I didn't actually bring it on the source sheets after having gone over and over it last week. Nonetheless, I think we'll be okay. But the two notes that are just minor items from last time, we asked the question last time of what this sugya is doing here at all. It really doesn't fit for our conversation. Our Mishnah and the previous Mishnayos and discussions in this parak were all about cases in which you hire somebody to do something, or you hire an animal to do something, and then it's not fulfilled, or the item breaks, is the case in our Mishnah here. You were plowing in the wrong place, and the plow broke, there's damage to the animal, and then suddenly we just throw in this line from Rabbi Yochanan where you sell a cow to somebody, and don't disclose the right mumen, the right defect. What does it have to do with anything? So much so that actually, as I'll mention later, I looked in the Yerushalmi at this discussion, and it's not there. Me and the Yerushalmi above Mitziah and our Mishnah has the discussion about the person who's plowing in the wrong place, the person who's having the animal threshed with the wrong item, and then it moves on to the next Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan's comment? Not there. So we asked why these are here. So I brought you source Aleph on your sheet. I'm not going to spend time on it, but just that you can see it. The Maharal on our Gemara does actually make an attempt to explain how this discussion with Rabbi Yochanan connects to the Mishnah in terms of somebody who is supposed to plow in the field and instead he plows on the mountain. Honestly, I read it and reread it, and it doesn't answer the problem to me. But you can look at it and your mileage may vary. The other was that we spent some time in the beginning last time talking about Lashbiach Daiti. The idea that when somebody tells you the item about to sell you, the cow I'm about to sell you, has a bunch of defects. It bites, it sprawls, it kicks. And you, as a buyer, evaluate it and say, doesn't seem to have any of those. So you say to yourself, it must be the seller told me this in order to make me more likely to buy. Right? That was the explanation that we gave for why one might, how one might justify to oneself the fact that he told you about defects that aren't actually present, such that you're going to assume everything is good with this item. He told me the cow bites and sprawls and whatever, I don't see it. It must be he did it in order to increase the likelihood that I would be willing to buy it. And we gave a bunch of explanations for why somebody might do this. What's the logic? Why would he have expressed these defects that aren't actually there? So we said from Rashi that maybe he's listing these defects in order to protect himself from liability later on, right? Like the foods that say may contain shellfish and soy and wheat and milk and whatever else, and it's all nonsense. And that was one explanation. Another explanation we offered was that the seller does this in order to demonstrate that he is hypersensitive. Like, I am going to list everything for you, and that gives the buyer confidence. Another take on it, which is similar, is that the seller does this in order to present himself to be an honest person. Look, I'm very above board. And then the idea that I really liked was the Ritva's idea, which is that he's trying to say, it's worth all this money that I'm charging you, even with all these defects. So it makes the buyer feel good. Look at that. Even still, with all these alleged defects, it's worth all the money that he's charging me. So I saw one other approach, which I brought you here. And the Piskei Rid, to explain what the mindset of the buyer is when the seller lists all these defects and the buyer says, I don't see them. And he says, I thought that you didn't really mean that it had all these blemishes. But sellers do this, putting down their item. That running down of your product is actually a way to praise it. Since it's such a good item, and he is so confident that it's good, he doesn't need to praise it. He's able to degrade it. In other words, you know how sure I am that this is a great product? I'm going to start telling you all these terrible things about it, and you're going to buy it anyway. I'm not even making an effort to sell it to you. That's how good I am as a product. That's how good, yeah, I'm just trying to think about presidential candidates and the like. I don't even need to defend myself. That's the way the Piskei Rid reads it. Eini mafzircha leknoso. I'm not even pushing you to buy it. Magunei, it's terrible. You want to buy it? Buy it. No pressure whatsoever.
Is it like self-deprecating humor, sort of?
Maybe, in a sense. But what he's saying is, I'm not trying to sell you anything. You can buy it, you can not buy it. It has all these terrible things. Your choice. That's the Piskei Rid. And I thought that was another interesting take. But going back to our main sugya here, and revisiting it. So, you know, again, because I didn't present it on the sheet, I'm going to read it out of the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan started us off by saying, Hamocha parla chaveru, you sell a cow to somebody, va'omerlo, and you say to him, parazuna chanesi, nashchanesi, batanesi, rapsanesi. This cow, it gores, it bites, it kicks, it sprawls, v'haya ba'mum, and we read it now right the way Rashi reads it, v'haya ba'mum echad, it had a mum, v'sanfo b'na mumin, and you included it among the mumin, hareze megachtos, the truth of the matter is, even though you don't have the Hebrew in front of you, you do have on your sheets, if you flip the page to the second side, you have the summary that I gave you last time with all the different ways to read it, so you can see for yourself. Rashi says, Hayaba mum echad, right? It had a noticeable defect, that's the way that Rashi reads it. The snuffo bena mum, and he embedded it among the defects, meaning he listed it. So of those four, well, not necessarily of those four, it could have been a fifth, but there was a mum that he mentioned that if it's there, you should be able to notice it. That's the way it sounds right now. And of those mumin that were there, at least one of them was noticeably not there. Of those mumin that were mentioned, at least one of them was noticeably absent, as I put it on here. And we say, this is considered to be mekachtos. Why? As we explained last time, Rashi says it's mekachtos because once you tell him that these mumin are there, and one, at least one of them is not really there, and he's going to notice it's not there, the buyer thinks to himself, just like this one isn't there, so too the other one isn't there. He's not going to bother to check all of the mumin that you listed. That's the way that Rashi read Reb Yochanan. The Rif, on the other hand, read Reb Yochanan to say that it had a mum acher. It had a defect which was different from the ones that were listed. How is it different from? Because the mumin that you listed were noticeable ones, ones that should be visible, and the one that you listed was not visible. The one that actually is there was not noticeable. So, once again, at least one of these mumin that you list is not actually there on the animal. It's not really a biter. It's not really a kicker. It's not really a sprawler. And the buyer thinks to himself, just like the mum that you mentioned that is visible isn't there, so too this mum that I couldn't even see, that I wouldn't be able to detect, is also not there. That was the read of the Rif. I'm simplifying by not going through all the different supporters for each side, but that's Rashi's take is, the real mum should have been visible. The Rif's take is, the real mum would not have been visible. Right? And then you had the Ravid, and the Ravid's take was entirely different. The Ravid's take is that you didn't even list the real mum. You only listed the mum that aren't real. And therefore, it's a mekachtos, right? Because the mum that actually was there wasn't even mentioned. You have to mention it. Flipping that on its head, what that means is the following. As far as Rashi is concerned, what do I have to do to avoid mekachtos? I can't mention blemishes that are noticeably absent. Right? I'm turning it around. In order to avoid mekachtos, I can't mention a mum. I can't mention a defect that is noticeably absent, because then even if the real defect is visible, he's not going to go looking for it. That's Rashi's take. The Rif's take, on the other hand, is that I can mention mumen that are noticeably absent as long as the real mum is noticeable. It's only when the real mum is not noticeable that I get in trouble. Because then he's going to say, well, this one is noticeably absent, and I can't even detect the other one. I'm going to go based on what I see. And the Ravid says, no, even that's fine. The only thing you can't do is omit the real mum. As long as you state the real mumen, I don't care what else you say. You can load the disclaimer with 100 different mumen that aren't there. Visible, not visible, I don't care. As long as you mention the real mumen, you're okay. So that's in increasing order of what the seller can get away with, right? That's the idea.
That's the right is because he doesn't specify noticeable or not noticeable, so we just assume he's inclusive.
No, he says explicitly.
No, because the Ravid quote on this is not that. The Ravid quote on this, you're talking about what I have on there.
Yeah.
He says it had a defect and you didn't mention it.
Right. So that could be a noticeable one or a noticeable.
Correct. No, that's true. Yes. What I omitted, as long as I didn't mention it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. As long as I didn't mention it, I'm liable. And I'm liable, but it's a megachtos. Yeah.
You counted it by accepting all these defects, you would also accept.
Correct. That's the idea. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, you write that if you don't mention it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, that's the last case, the way you reason, that you mention all those things and he accepts them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we're good.
You don't have to mention it.
Correct. No, but I do have to mention the real one.
No, you don't.
Unless I have a case in which I point out a real mum.
Okay.
That if I mention the case of a real mum, then it's a different story.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. It's still the understand because if the whole thing is that it had a defect, and the problem is you didn't mention it, right? So why does it matter if this the whole bunch?
Right. So this is what Ryberger was trying to point out. This is Sammy's point, that it's true. We noted it last week. That in the event that I only point out noticeable, I'm not notable, real mumen.
Right.
If I only point out real mumen, then I can say, look, he forgave real mumen, and I'm okay. I have to have introduced an element of, these mumen aren't really there, this product's okay, by having a mumen that was noticeably absent. That's what triggers this. Yeah, no, that part is so. So the problem that we had, and that I want to visit, and Paul, I feel bad for you because you're running into all this new. It's going to be a little hard to put everything in order. But the part that I wanted to visit here is the Rambam's view, and specifically because of the problem which we identified last time from the Bach. Take a look at Source Gimel on your sheet, please. Uktsas Kashe, he says, I got a problem here. The Harambam v'Rabbeinu korim lemum nashchanis rabtzanis mumin she'ena nikarin. The Rambam, as well as the Tur, when the Bach says Rabbeinu, he means the Tur. When the Rambam and the Tur talk about these mumin, they talk about the biter and the sprawler as non-visible mumin. V'harif v'arash korinosam galuyim, and the rif and the rush call them visible mumin. So that's his problem. What is he talking about? So let's go through and identify the problem that he's referring to before we get to his solution. So if you take a look at source Dalet, this was Rashi on the Resha. When it said, this is a Mekachtos, when you listed Nashchanis, Rabtzanis, Batanis, Nachanis, so Rashi said, Hareze Mekachtos, it is a Mekachtos. Why? Lefi Sheikir HaLokeach B'Sha'ar Mumin, because the Lokeach, the buyer, recognized the other Mumin, the ones that, as I added in brackets, the seller mentioned, Shizgamocher. She'inon, he saw they weren't there. So Rashi is telling you that the biter, the sprawler, the kicker, Gorer was what I was missing. That you could tell, the buyer could tell that they weren't there. Okay? It is nikar. It is noticeable. Ditto, the riff. Take a look at the riff in source. Hey, the rush is the same way I brought him in Vav. I'm not sure why I did, but it's the same. Where he says, Parazu lo haisa lo rabtanis lo nashkanis lo batanis. It wasn't a sprawl or a bite or a kicker. I added in the brackets. Those are mumen that are visible. Aval haya bah mum acher she'eino nikar. It had a different mum, which is not visible. And the way we understand the riff is that it's acher because it's eino nikar. It's different in the sense that it is not visible. The implication is that these first four are visible. The way that we understand Rashi, the riff, the rush, is that the mumen that are listed are mumen which by their presence or by their absence are noticeable. And it's a mekachtos because when you look at the list and you say, well, these items are on the list and I can tell this item, this isn't really here, that gives you as a buyer the mindset of this product is fine. That's our idea. However, the Rambam seems to be different. Take a look at source Zion. The Rambam says, Hamocher parala chaveiro. You sell a cow to somebody. Umana ba mumin galuyin umumin she'ena nikarin. You identify mumin that are clear and mumin that are not visible. Velo haya ba meosin amumin haguyin shamana. It didn't have one of the clear mumin that you mentioned. V'nimtza b'mum me'osin she'en nikar, and instead you find a mum that is not nikar. Harei zeh, that is not noticeable. Not you find, it's there. Nimtza just means it existed. Harei zeh mekachtos v'chozer, that's a mekachtos, and you reverse it. V'av api shapirish ha'mum she'nimtza, even though you identified the mum that was there, was on your list. Sharei lokeach omer, because lokeach says, Kishera'isi she'ein ba'elu ha'mumin hanirin. Shanirin. When I saw that it didn't have the mumin that were there, that were noticeable, so far so good. Right now he seems to be saying these other mumin are noticeable. Right now we have no problem with the Rambam. We're good so far. Amarti, I said, so too, the non-visible ones that he mentioned. So far, we're okay. But then look at Halacha Ches. In the beginning of Halacha Ches, the Rambam gives you an example. And, wonder of wonders, he abandoned our list from the Mishnah. We had biter, kicker, sprawler, gorer. Right? In some order like that. I scrambled the order. Now look what the Rambam has. Ketzad? How so? Parazu iveresi. It's blind. Chigeresi. It's lame. Nashchanesi rabtzanesi. It is a biter. It is a sprawler. V'nimtzeis rabtzanes bilvad. And instead, it's just a rabtzan. Or nashchanes. Or it's just a nashchan. It is a biter or a sprawler. Harezem mekachtos. That's a mekachtos. What in the world has the Rambam done? Did the Rambam not know? I went hunting, trying to find anyone at all who would be a precedent for this Rambam. Is there anyone who talks about Iveres? Is there anyone who talks about Chigeres? And I can't find anything. Not in the Yerushalmi, not in the Tosefta, nobody. Why did the Rambam change the list? What did he... Think about it, like logically, what did he just introduce? What do you accomplish by adding blind or lame? not just Nikar, super Nikar, right? These are really visible, right? Meaning, this animal could be a biter, but no one stuck his hand in its mouth and therefore didn't bite, right? It's kept out of remove. But everybody can tell when the animal can't see. Everybody can tell when the animal can't walk. That's exactly the point. Rabbi Yair says, so what about Nashkanis? What about the biter? That's exactly what the Rambam has done. The Rambam's case is, you listed a bunch of mumin, some of which are gluyim, and some of which are not nikar, and the non-nikar was the one that's there, and that's what he identifies as Ratzanis and Nashkanis. In other words, the sprawler or the biter are the ones that are not visible. And now you understand why we have a problem. This is what was angering the Bach. The Bach says, according to Rashi, and according to the Rif, the ones that you listed here are Nikar. Biter, sprawler, gorer, kicker are the ones that are noticeable. The Rambam is telling you no. Biter, sprawler, gorer, whatever, you know, he only gave you two of them. The biter case, the sprawler case, are the non-Nikar, are the non-noticeable. You want noticeable? Blind, lame. That's noticeable. Isn't that really interesting that the Rambam he introduced two new ones and told you that the ones you had there actually are not Nikar. Not only that, but the Ravid thinks so too. The Bach didn't mention this, but I started looking at the Ravid and realized the Ravid is doing the same thing. In Source Ches, after the Ravid moves on from his discussion of the Resha, he then asks a question. Vishalnu, he says, we asked. We saw this Ravid last week. Emayu bakola mumen halalu sheizgir lo. If it had all the mumen you mentioned, v'yodeachen, and he knows it. The buyer knows. And yet he accepts it. He says, I'm okay with it. This is the question, Jeffrey, that we were just discussing. What if it has another mum, which you didn't mention? Is it mekachtos or not? When we say it's a mekachtos, that's only if you don't see the mumin that were mentioned. I'm pausing there. I'm stopping there. The rest of the rabbit is to answer, no, in that case it's not a mekachtos. But my point is, he entertains the possibility that these four items that are mentioned would not be visible. It could be that you could buy an animal that's a sprawler and not know it. You could buy an animal that's a biter and not know it. In other words, the Ravid is on the Rambam side. Explosion. The Rambam is on the Rambam side. Against the reading of the Rif, against the reading of the Rush, against the reading of Rashi. So, here's my solution. And it goes back to what I had suggested last time, but I hadn't thought it through enough yet to be able to present it. But I think what the Rambam is doing is he's giving you three grades of mumin. You have mumin that are not visible at all. Then you have mumin which are very visible at the other extreme, blind and lame. And then you have mumin in the middle, which compared to some are not noticeable, like compared to blind and lame, but compared to others, they are noticeable, meaning you can test them and find them. The Rambam introduces the concept of blind and lame as cases of absolutely clear-cut visible defects, and that's why the Rambam changed the words. Did you notice the word the Rambam introduced to describe the mum?
Gluyin.
Gluyin. No one else did. I don't know why the Bach did what he did. The Bach, if you look at his wording in Gimel, the end of the line, he says the Rif and the Rush, Koran Osam Gluyin. No, he didn't. The Rif and the Rush never used the word Galoy. You can look, I even brought you the Rush. They use only the term Nikar. They did not use the word Galoy. Absolutely not. What the Rambam is doing is he's saying biter and sprawler are not as visible as blind and lame. They are noticeable if you test it, but not noticeable to a person who's just standing there at the pen and looking in at the animal. And I think that's what the Bach meant. And last week I told you I had read the Bach and I couldn't understand what he was answering. I think that's actually what the Bach meant. Take a look back at Gimel, please, at his answer, the second line in Gimel. V'nira devadai ka'asher noda dinashchanis v'ravtzanis u'ba'atanis hi. He says, certainly if you already know that it's a biter, a sprawler, a kicker, me'ata, he left out gor also. I don't feel so bad at Tano. Me'ata korin osam b'shem mumen ani korin. Then we will say it's a biter. Then we will say it's a sprawler. If you know it's there, you know what to look for, you'll be able to find it. V'harambam v'rabbeinu, but the Rambam and the Tur, mari b'stama b'she'eno nodam mumen elu b'parazu. But they're talking about, well, you don't know. You're the buyer. You don't know if it's really there or not. And so from the buyer's side, you say it's not Iker. I couldn't tell. As opposed to blind and lame, right? Where anybody looks at it can tell without having known beforehand something's wrong with the animal. This animal doesn't have it. There's something wrong. And that fits with the other Rishonim. You can fit this with the Rif. As well, meaning if you look at the Rif's case in the Seifa, I didn't bring it on here, but the Rif's case in the Seifa, he talks about mum zeh mum acher, right? This mum and another mum, and that other mum is nikar v'nira la'ayin, is visible to the eye, as opposed to the Reisha cases of the biter of the sproller where he just said nikar. Oh, you know what? I did bring it on here. Ha! Huh. Oh. Take a look. It's source test. I brought it on there. The Rif says, "Herahu mumacher shu nikar v'niralainayim." He threw in niralainayim. Why? Because the first cases are just nikar. They're not niralainayim, and it fits with the Rivet as well. The Rivet is right. You could fail to see a biter or sprawler. That's the idea. They're nikar. They're not galui.
The difference is actually there's a deficiency in the animal versus the acts, the behavior is a deficiency.
Well, that's what ends up happening. Theoretically, I suppose there could be a behavior that's visible in galui and all that, but I don't know what it is. Yeah.
So how old is our proof from the Rabbi that was at the Rambam?
Just the fact that he suggests that you could actually look at the animal and not notice Nakhanis, Batanis, and all that. The language, they're going to underline.
See that, meaning he sees the things that are not there. No.
He didn't see the fact that it was an Ashkhanis, a Batanis, a Rabtanis,
right.
Whatever.
Like,
why does that mean that it's visible?
That's the whole case. The whole
because
case
how
is it? That you don't see them. That's Rashi's logic also. I saw that it was an Ashkhanis, Batanis, and then I thought it wasn't the other thing either.
No.
I don't know if you can even die again that.
I think you can. In the read that he is giving, I looked at this animal, which really was. It had all of these women, and I didn't see them.
Oh, because the Rav says they're there.
Yeah, because the Rav is talking about the case where it's Hayu Bakala Mumin Halalu. I agree that it's not 100%, but I think it's Mokhah from his presentation. Flip the page.
Rabbi,
just, yeah.
Why can't you read the Rif on the Rosh and saying, when they say Acher Sheino Nikar, it's a different non-visible one?
Because that's the whole point of the Seifa case. Mum Zeh U Mum Acher is that it is visible. Right? Wasn't that the whole point in the case? The mum zeh is a noticeable one, and the mum acher is a non-noticeable mum.
So in that case, it would be no difference.
Yeah. So if you flip the page, I represented for you Rashi, Rif, and Raiva. They're no different from what we did last week, but I want to just read through the Rambam now. I think the Shulchan Aruch is siding with the Rambam, but I wasn't 100% sure. The Shulchan Aruch does not use the term galui, which to me is a tip-off that maybe not. But if you read the way that we present the Rambam here on this side, Rabbi Yochanan says, you sell a cow to another person, saying it gores, bites, kicks, sprawls, at least one of which was noticeably absent, and it had a non-obvious but testable defect. Right? It had a mum echad, it was not an obvious one, but it was one that indeed could have been tested, and he embedded it among the defects that should have been obvious. That's the idea, and it's mekachtos because the ones that should have been obvious, iveres, tigeres, weren't there, and that led him to assume that the other one, which is non-obvious but you could notice it, that's what he calls nikar, is not there. So what the Rambam is telling you is this: read Perek Tesvav Halacha Zayin, which I didn't present on the sheet. I really ought to. That's not good that I didn't do it, but I didn't do it. But in Tesvav Halacha Zayin, what the Rambam is saying is, if the real mum is not obvious, it's testable, but it's not obvious, then don't mention false mumin, which if they were there would be obvious. Because they'll mislead the buyer into thinking that the testable mum is not there. And then in Halacha Ches, he says, if all of them are there, well, this is Halacha Ches is straight. If all of them are there, meaning you mentioned the true obvious one and the true testable one, that's not toast, because you mentioned the true obvious ones. He has no reason to think that the testable one isn't there. That's just following up from last time.
That's actually good to have all three, because it's very common.
Yeah.
If you have a car, let's say, so you see it's rusted and dented.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you test drive it, you won't know that it rattles and squeaks, but you'll never know that it uses three times as much oil.
Right.
Buy it and find out.
Correct. And that's exactly, that was what I was going for last time when I gave the car examples. To me, it's a lot easier to associate with a car than the goring, you know, animal. What the Rambam is telling me is precisely that. In the event that the seller says to me, this car squeaks and rattles and runs through oil like you wouldn't believe, right? And the only one that's actually there is running through oil, the Rambam would not call that Mekach Tos. Why? Because the other ones are not visible to the eye either. You have to drive it in order to find out. Whereas if he says it's rusted through, right? If he says it's rusted through, if he says one side of the car sits higher than the other, those are things that I should have been able to see, and if those aren't there, and in fact the oil problem is there, that's Mekach Tos. Because he tricked me with something that didn't even require testing. Yeah?
Doesn't that mean it's against the Gemara?
Why? He'll read Rabbi Yochanan straight. Oh, you mean because the Gemara does? The Gemara has gore, biting, kicking, and sprawling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What will the Rambam do with the list in the Gemara? The answer has to be, I think, going back to his language in Zion. Oh, I did bring the Rambam there. I just brought it in Zion. That's all. The Rambam will have to tell you, I think, and it's kind of funny to say this, but I think you have to say it, that goring and kicking are visible. And he just chose to substitute for them something that was more obviously visible than those. I don't know why that should be the case.
I think the Orsimach or Bekel Google had mentioned that the Rambam was doing it to save space. That he used something that was clearly visible and it was saving space on the page. Which
seriously?
The Rambam likes to do, yeah.
Do me a favor, when you find that, let me know. Because that's a riot.
Yeah.
They weren't there.
By using something that's clearly obvious. I don't remember the exact details, but I'll send you.
I definitely want to see that. Yeah.
I'm clear. According to the Bach, where is the discussion of Racha, Breda Rava, and Ravashi and Rav Mordechai? What's that going on? The first case, the last case?
According to the Bach's read, it's the way that I had presented it last week. All the afilus and everything else is just the way we said it last week. That according to Rashi, Nemuka Yosef, Rav Acha is referring to the Resha. According to the Rif, he's referring to the Seifa. And according to the Rambam, he's referring to both.
Or to both?
Yes. The Bach was the origin of my read of the Rambam last week. Yeah.
So if testable lumim are lumim she'enam nikarim.
Yes.
What is a non-testable lumim?
Like the oil case.
What would it be called?
Oh, what would he call it? Eino nikar. In other words, nikar is testable. Eino nikar is non-testable.
The problem is,
nikar is testable.
The way that we read the Rambam is that Nashchanes and Rav Tzanes are eino nikarim.
Right.
That's a problem.
So I'm trying to look at.
But he didn't say that.
Yes, he did.
Where?
Mumin she'eino nikarin.
Yeah, the Mumin she'eino nikarin is the one that's the trick one. The one that you are sunfo bein hamumin. In other words,
which is
the one that you have on your list.
In his case.
Correct.
No.
Because
you have it as the Raptanis and the Raptanis.
The contract is
right.
The good.
Right.
Right, but Nathanael's right. You're right. He's presenting those as being contrasted with the Galui.
Right.
Yes.
So Rabbi Yaris is asking, how would you deal with the case of a testable mum versus a completely non-testable mum?
I'm not sure.
Right, and the position of the Rambam is, don't worry about that, because the Rambam says it's only Mekach Tos if you mentioned an obvious one,
right,
that isn't there.
I understand. My reading, and I'm just conjecturing, is Eino Nikar is non-testable. And I believe, and I think, that a Nachonis or Afsonis may be non-testable because it doesn't bite every day. This has bad days. Once a week it goes out biting. If this was a cow that bit, you couldn't get near it.
So you want to read the Rambam as presenting the two poles,
right,
the two opposites, and not discussing the testable case at all.
Right.
That's interesting.
I'm not sure if it works. I'm just reading.
That's interesting. Will that help us with the Rambam on the Gemara? I don't think so.
Probably make it worse, actually.
I, The best answer I can offer regarding the Gemara's case is that the Rambam really believes that Rav Tzanis and Ba'atanis, right? Or not Rav Tzanis, but Ba'atanis and Akhanis are visible.
Just don't believe practically that these were defects that happen every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're having a car that doesn't start when it's wet, when it's raining. That's what it's when it's dry. If you're buying a car on a dry day, you won't see it.
Right. I don't know. I hear you.